What'd you think of TFC in the first their first match?
It kind of reminded me of the MLS Cup final, to be perfectly honest, where, you know, they kind of dictate the pace of the game. You know, on the balance of play, they're creating more more chances and just looking more dangerous up front, but just didn't convert anything, put anything away, and really let Salt Lake kind of hang around, and almost allowing Salt Lake to steal a point, kind of like how they did with Seattle, just let them kind of stick around and they waited them out. So it kind of reminded me of that, which I guess isn't too much of a surprise because it's still early days, right? I mean, guys are still trying to get fit and everything, and then TFC was, you know, it was a very short turnaround. You know, an 83-day turnaround from MLS final to this game. So that was the shortest that they've ever gone. So, you know, you can kind of understand why they looked a little, leggy, just not kind of up to snuff.
John, understandably, given that, you know, the core of this side is back and obviously the great season they had last year, expectations are very, very high. Is there anything in you that would suggest caution with those expectations, or are those expectations justified?
No, I think those expectations are just, Stephen. As you said, the core of the team is there when you look at from last season. I mean, I always kind of look at the strength of the team. I kind of look down the spine. So I look at, you know, who's the goalkeeper, who's kind of, you know, in the center of defense, who's in the center of midfield, and who do you have your forwards up front? And when you look at that spine, it's pretty impressive. You got Clint Irwin, who's, I would suggest, one of the better goalkeepers in MLS. Drew Moore, who's one of the better defenders. Michael Bradley, you know, I think we all know his reputation. And Sebastian Giacomo and Jose Altidore. And then when you combine that with kind of the complementary players they have, both veterans and kind of, you know, young prospects, I don't think it's not unreasonable to expect this team to, you know, if not duplicate what they did last year, then come pretty close. I mean, they certainly have all the pieces there. So I think expecting anything less, you know, it's kind of letting them off the hook a little bit.
John, do you think that, you know, I think we expect ultimately that Victor Vasquez will be a starter, but can you see a scenario where Greg Vanney maybe does bring him off the bench every now and then, you know, start somebody else and bring him off the bench as a way of maybe changing pace a little bit? Or is he not that type of guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, I thought he looked pretty impressive when he came on.
Sure did.
On Saturday, he kind of really changed the, you know, the pace of the game and the urgency. I mean, he played a great 60-yard ball that released Jovinko on goal. So you can tell immediately that he's already have a pretty good understanding with Jovinko and Elfsborg.
It was a great pass.
Exactly what,
it's like the ball just died at his feet. I mean, it was wonderful.
Yeah, and that's exactly why they brought in a guy like him. They wanted someone who can kind of add that creative spark, bit of a playmaker, and link up effectively with the two guys up front. I mean, I think occasionally, sure. I think they're going to want to manage his minutes and whatnot going forward. But I'd have to think that, you know, the bulk of the time he's going to be starter because, you know, he's going to be such a key figure for them. That, you know, you don't bring in a guy like that to bring him off the bench. You bring him into, you know, influence games, and there's no better way for him to do that than to start games right from the beginning.
I want to ask you a little bit, John, just about, there's been a lot of talk about the evolution of the league. You know, a lot of the guys on their retirement tours have left the league this past offseason, the Steven Gerrards and the Lampards. Everybody would love to have a Sebastian Giacomo, a world-class player in his prime who's playing in MLS. You know, I don't know that there are going to be a lot of those guys show up, but that, you know, I wonder where you think this league has had, you know, different iterations over its history. It's gone in different directions sometimes in an attempt to sell the game, sometimes in an attempt to improve the caliber of play. But you look now, you know, expansion teams, the Atlanta team's going to have huge box office success, it looks like. And they seem to now have kind of gone away from the marquee names that actually don't have anything left. I assume you see that as a positive step in the evolution of MLS.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the league has always, you know, since, you know, David Beckham came in, it was always about attracting names, not necessarily the best talent, but guys who could kind of sell the product and, you know, draw some attention to the league, because it was very much down the pecking order, both in Canada and in the United States in the sporting landscape. So you kind of get what they were, you know, you kind of get their idea about wanting to bring in, you know, guys like Thierry and Beckham and Andrea Pirlo to kind of sell the product. Now, though, I think they're slowly turning away, and I think teams are more looking at it like, you know, we got to get young players, players who are on the up and coming, and players who are a bit of a names, but who, you know, still have plenty left in the tank, right? Because if you're going to invest millions in these guys, then you want to get full return. And I think, you know, that's all about winning, right? Mm. And when you look at what Toronto has done, you really got to hand it to them. I mean, Sebastian Giovinco, Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore, these are three guys that they brought in, all in their primes, all who could easily still be playing in Europe, all under 30, and yet they brought them in, you know, in their respective primes of their career. I think a lot of teams have taken notice of what Toronto has done and maybe not necessarily go after, you know, players like Bradley and then Giovinco and then Altidore because they might not necessarily be able to get them, but certainly use that as a template in terms of getting guys who still have gas left in the tank and can contribute and help the team win. I think that's kind of, you know, the model that other teams are going to go to use going forward.
And I think we may be seeing signs of that, or we may have seen signs of that with the LA Galaxy, you know, going after Giovanni Dos Santos, who's what, 27? I think he's going to be 28 in May, a guy with a lot left in the tank still. Mexican national team player, he's got a lot left in the tank. He's not playing out the string.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at, you know, Gerrard stepping down, Lampard stepping down, Pirlo, I think he was going to play a reduced role this year. You know, all these sort of teams are kind of, I think, going younger. And there seems to be a real trend amongst teams in MLS to find guys who can, you know, who are not on the last stages of their career, who have their best years in front of them. They can really kind of become the cornerstones of their respective franchises for a long time. And I think that's, you know, the right way to go when you think about it.
Yeah, as long as you can hang on to those guys, you know, like then that's, sure. that you know, that becomes a bit of a challenge too, you know. It could have been a challenge with Giovinco with the China situation.
Yeah, I think the China thing, you know, it's an interesting one because, you know, for all the money that gets thrown around there, and obviously, look, they're attracting top-ranked players, but, you know, I've heard a lot of horror stories too about guys not getting paid on time, about the quality of play not being up to snuff, you know, just the cultural thing too, that it is a big cultural shock to go from, if you're a South American, you know, I often hear South Americans complain about, you know, playing in North America and in Europe because it's just a bit too much to get over that, the cultural differences. Imagine them playing in China. It can be, you know, even more so. So, you know, I really wonder about how much of an influence China is going to have in the ensuing years, especially now because they're, you know, the league is kind of clamping down on the number of imports you can bring in and how much money you can spend. So I actually kind of see their influence lessening a little bit going forward.